Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast this Monday. You are about to listen to a message from the Flow Encounter Service preached by healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor Dag Heward Mills. Now, I don't know about you, but I have been so challenged and enlightened personally by Bishop Dag's teachings on loving God. Loving God is not automatic. It is something that we as Christians have to learn. Today, Bishop Dag will explain the need to learn how to love God more. In today's teaching, we will also be encouraged to face and overcome our shortcomings that hinder us from coming closer to God and loving Him fully, like selfishness and a lack of obedience. Let's learn how to be better lovers of God from today's message.
Hallelujah. It's a beautiful and a wonderful Sunday once again. If you believe in God's power and God's supernatural provision, why don't you shout a big amen? Hallelujah. The Bible says in Luke chapter 1 verse 45, blessed is he that believeth, for there shall be a performance of the things that were told him from the Lord. I don't know what God has told you on this Flow prayer meetings or at the Flow prophetic encounter, but you should expect it to come to pass. Today I have Opoku Dapa all the way from UMAT in Takwa here with me to share his powerful testimony of how God came through for him. And as you hear this testimony, God is going to come through for you in the same way. If you believe it, shout, yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, Opoku, what has God done for you?
My name is Prince Opoku Dapa from the First Love Church, UMAT, Takwa. And then my testimony is about how God healed my mother. Now, about 3 to 4 months ago, my mom wasn't feeling well, and then she had to go through a surgery. And then at the same time, too, Prophet was leading us through the Daniel fast. So as I was partaking in the Daniel fast, every time I pray, I hear thoughts of death, that my mom is going to die, and then something bad is going to happen. So I was really scared. And then I decided to listen to a message. Now, in the message, Prophet gave a prophecy that this year, we are not going to hear any news about death, or we are not going to have any case of death in our homes. Wow. And then when I heard this prophecy, I believed it. I believed it for myself. And then
you believe that he was talking to you specifically?
Yes, I believe that he was talking to me specifically.
Wow. What happened?
And then as I was continuing to pray with the prophecy that I was believing in, few weeks later, my mom called me that she has been discharged and everything was successful and nothing bad happened through the surgery.
Hallelujah. Why don't you give the Lord a mighty shout of praise? Wow. A prophecy can see you through what you are going through. A prophecy can give you the strength to overcome. And that's what happened to Opoku Dapa. He says he heard the word and he believed in the word that was spoken. And today I believe God's word is coming to us again. And all you have to do is believe. All you have to do is receive. And God is going to do a fantastic miracle in your life. If you believe it, shout amen. And put your hands together for that powerful testimony.
Testimony, I love you. Testimony, I need you. Testimony, I love you. Testimony, I need you.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Now I can see some of you on Zoom. If you can see me, wave. I want to see you waving. Oh, wow. I see some of them waving. Some are not waving. Which people are on this screen? Wave on the screen. UK. I can't see the UK people waving. UK. That's a UK. All right. Which group is that over there? Australia. Wow, I can see you guys. Beautiful. We are practicing how to have a long service internet connection. But which group is up in the corner? Does anybody know what that group is? Also UK.
UK,
please. Can you wave? Are you all right? Are you hungry? That's the UK. They're waving there. But this section of the UK, are they frozen? All right. Switzerland. Can I see Swiss people waving? Also frozen. Is it cold, cold weather? All right. Glory to God. You guys are doing a great job. We are so excited to be here, all of us watching everywhere. Thank God for another Sunday. And it's locked down all over the world. Pandemics, epidemics, all kinds of things. And I believe that these are the last days. And it's possible that we have struck and entered into a calamitous sector of this world, this world's existence, where worldwide calamities and devastations are going to take place all over. Earthquakes, viruses, diseases, inventions of evil things. Are those virologists who know, you know, things believe that these viruses are not, they are not normal viruses. They are existing viruses which have been tampered with. Existing viruses, even Ebola, is thought to be that until they did something to it in the lab, it never had that effect. It's not from a bat or an animal. Yeah. So these are the last days. Men shall grow worse and worse, evil doers. So we are in the midst of it. And some people benefit from the fact that, you know, this thing is going on. Yeah, some people benefit and some people even get money for whatever reason. And so many things are being attributed to this. So I believe that in the midst of it, God is giving us wisdom and grace to go through it. Even if it's the very last day of the last days and the beginning, maybe Jesus is about to come and then spark off the end of the world without us. But Jesus will come and take us away to glory. It's also possible. Maranatha. Solomon Tate got married yesterday, so he said, he told us that Jesus can come from tonight or tomorrow. He's released Jesus to come now. He was waiting for yesterday. Now, when we call him, he just says, Maranatha. Lord, come quickly. Yeah. Lord, come quickly. Those of you who are not yet gotten married, you must consider whether you need to do something in the pandemic. At some Zoom weddings. Because yesterday's wedding, there were more people attending online. Maybe they would not even have come for the wedding. Yeah, we had 700 people. International delegates, everything. So you may have to consider. Yes. Before. Because people are now shouting, Maranatha, Maranatha, Maranatha. In case Christ comes before your wedding, you will not be so happy at all. It's like you missed out on certain great things. But you will not miss in Jesus' name. How long shall we delay the Lord's coming? So Pastor Frank, who has been leading us in prayer, can get married. And after that, we all shout Maranatha. Lord, come quickly. It's amazing. Hallelujah. Now, this afternoon or morning or whatever time it is where you are, we are going to give into our bank account in heaven. In Philippians 4:17, the Bible says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. So, every Christian has an account in heaven, a spiritual account. And it's important for you to make deposits into the account. All right? Now, I want you to just listen with me, please. Don't take out your offering yet. I want to show you something. Melchizedek in Hebrews chapter 7. All right? Verse 6 says, he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham. So Abraham paid tithes. How about you? And he blessed him. So Abraham received a blessing after paying his tithes. And he was blessed. The one who had the promises was blessed. So he whose descent is not counted from them received, as Melchizedek, received tithes of Abraham. So Abraham paid tithes to him. And then Melchizedek blessed Abraham. Can you imagine Abraham, who is so blessed, being blessed for paying his tithes? All right? So he blessed him that had the promises. The one who had the promises was Abraham. Abraham is the one who has been promised. All right? And the one who had been promised these great promises received a blessing. So you see, your life is like the sea. Do you see? The sea, the ocean. You see, the ocean is never full. And even the ocean receives rain. Yes. We who are on the dry land receive rain. But the ocean, which is already full of water, is not too full to receive another rainfall. You see? So Abraham, who was already full of promises and blessings, was not too full to receive another blessing. So everyone must have faith in giving, in paying tithes, because it releases a great blessing, no matter who you are and how blessed you think you already are. Now, verse 8 is a critical verse of Hebrews 7 and Hebrews chapter 7. It says, here on earth, men that die, human men that die, receive tithes. But there, he receiveth them, of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. So there, in heaven, he receiveth them. So God receives your tithes. Yes. When you make your deposit, it's received there. Even though men that die are receiving the tithes, he receiveth them there. So he says, and here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them, of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. The one we know who is alive. Our Lord is alive. So over here on earth, men who die, human mortal men, receive tithes. But there, he receiveth them. God receives your tithes. That's why when you pay your tithes and you give your offering, you are paying into an account. Why would he say lay up treasures in heaven if there was nothing that was being gathered over there? You get it? Lay up treasures. Or if it had been today, they would have said, make investments in heaven. Get some bonds and stocks in heaven. Yes. So, ladies and gentlemen, today I want everybody in the midst of this pandemic to sow a seed. Now, I don't want you to make a donation. I'm not asking you to make a donation. I'm not asking you to help something. I'm asking you, I'm guiding you to do something spiritual and powerful and sow a seed, do you see, that is a great spiritual act and event in your life. Yes. I'll tell you one of the supernatural things that's going to happen in your life. At a point in your life and your walk with God, God will come and be involved in your money. It's something that happens. As you stay with God and you walk with Him, He will get involved in your money things. Yes. And at that point, the power of God and the spirituality moves into money as well. And that is where you now see that you, in relation to God, have moved on as far as money is concerned. And giving and sowing seeds are spiritual events with a lot of spiritual meanings. Like when the day that I sowed a seed in Kenneth Hagin's life, it was a spiritual event that God guided me to do. And also in Fred Price when I met him, and in other people that I've met. They are spiritual acts. When God has guided me to do certain things, to give certain things, they are all events in my life. If you ask me to count and write the events of my life, spiritual events and milestones, it will eventually it comes into this area as well, where I see God leading me, do you understand, in giving and also in receiving. Yes, giving and receiving. And things change and it becomes a supernatural. It's like preaching. It's like you may say I'm giving a lecture, but there's a point that it changes. And then the spirit is now not just a talk, but it's something, it's like a ministration. But you can't even tell the difference between when it changes from just talking to a supernatural message from God. But it comes at a point. And that's what I'm saying, that in your giving, it's like, oh, yes, time to give an offering. Okay, yes, 10 pounds. Yes, 20 pounds. But then it comes a time in your journey with God, if you are a spiritual pilgrim, you see that money has now also come into question between you and God. And it's like money now becomes a spiritual thing. What you give and what you receive will all be spiritual and supernatural. Yes, what you give and what you receive will all be supernatural. It's fantastic. So allow God to lead you in financial, in financials, because you are growing in the Lord. You know, and sometimes you can even be a pastor, but you haven't grown in God, where money has now become part of the things that that God has taken over and has become a supernatural thing. It's like preaching. You have people who preach; they have the book, then they preach the notes. And they preach things, but it hasn't yet become a supernatural thing. It's like you are using intelligence rather than anointing. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. You are using intelligence and good understanding as against it shifting from a good understanding into something anointed and powerful. So today, I want you to just believe. And all these little talks help you in your journey with God to get to the place where money will become a spiritual thing to you. To me, money is quite spiritual. That's what I mean. I know that riches, wealth, there's a certain level of abundance and a certain place that only God can do. That's what only God can do, and He does. And you begin to recognize the hand of God and the grace of God. Yeah. Especially if you look around, you'll see that God's power is working in your life when it comes to those areas. So, brothers and sisters, today I believe that your giving is shifting, and I want you to believe in God. I want you to believe God. Yeah. You know, to have a job, to be alive to go to work and to come, to be well, to go, to come, to prosper, to have a car, to not have a debt is something. Yesterday I met somebody, and the person was saying something to me, said that, I mean, she was explaining that she's a businesswoman. She said that, you know, I don't owe anybody. He said there is nothing like that in the whole world to experience that I don't do, that you don't owe. As the pandemic has come, because it doesn't owe, it's like the kind of stress and tension, she doesn't know how it would have been like. But just that grace that I don't owe, it changes everything. So ladies and gentlemen, I believe that it's also another realm in finances, a realm of also not owing. And I believe many of the people under my leadership and under my shepherdorial guidance in every country are gradually believing this. Even after this pandemic, you believe it more, that there is a blessing. Even it's a level to be there. It's like, I don't owe. Yeah. Even if you have nothing, I don't, you know something, I don't owe anybody. So let the month end, cry. I still don't owe anybody by the grace of God. That is a blessing. And it's a blessing to have your own house too. And I see many of you having your own houses in the name of Jesus Christ. So every taking out of an offering now, everyone, especially your tithes, because you know today was a special one about tithes. Here, men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them. So God receives your tithes over there. So every taking out of your tithes, I need you to give your tithes. Don't say, I'm saving up for a rainy day. And what's going to happen is you are going to get a rainy day, because your faith was that a rainy day is coming. So you are saving for a rainy day. And then God will say, oh, I see. You take a rainy day. And then the rainy day arrives in your life. And then you see that, wow, I was saving for this. And now I really need it. Are you listening to me? So every taking of an offering, everywhere. What a blessing today we have. Amen. We are experiencing great grace and great blessings. Hallelujah. So I'm waiting for you in the UK, America, Botswana, please, South Africa, Ghana, every taking out of an offering everywhere. So maybe you joined the service earlier for another, but you are here again. You are not full. The sea is never full. You rain on the land, and even the sea full of water is receiving a lot of rain. Sometimes it rains more on the sea than on the land. Wow. Yeah. Every taking of an offering, and even those of us who were born before the technology are learning how to give through the mobile phone. Don't say you don't know how to do it. The pandemic has been on for some weeks, and by now you should have known how to give an offering and to send money to anywhere you want to send it to without talking a lot. We have many World Remit and other Wave offerings, and what again? Internet banking, mobile money, whatever. Get it out. And I want everybody to give. Now, nobody should say you cannot give. Even if it's one CD, I need you to give. And I don't care. $1, one CD, £1, if that's what you have, but you must give. Participate in the spiritual act we are doing. It's a spiritual event. It's like singing music. Initially, it may sound like it's just melody, we are just happy, but at a point it changes, it becomes a spiritual thing. And you see that something is happening to you spiritually. All right? So take out your offering. I'm waiting, still waiting. I can feel when the money is moving, I feel it. So I don't feel all the money is moving yet. I need your money to move from you to the church's account. Amen. Somebody was saying that, the church just wants, we just want the thing to reopen because we want to receive offerings. You know. But the fact of the matter is that we do need the offerings to carry on the work of God. And whenever the pandemic is over and we are able to travel, we may have to travel so much to make up for all this time that we have been grounded. Yes. So many things that were in the plan. We are believing that until Jesus comes, we'll be moving around. Maybe Jesus is just about to start coming. Maybe he started shifting in his chair. Maybe the Father is just telling him, get ready. Get ready. And Jesus is just calling for the horses, the white horses. Yes. The trumpeters are practicing. Are we going to play in G or in D? Are we playing in F flat, A flat? What key are we sounding a trumpet in? We are practicing. Wow. All right. Now, lift up your phone, your offering, wherever you are. Father, bless and receive these tithes and these offerings in a mighty way from heaven. And send help for your children from heaven, everywhere in the world. Australia, Lord, in Papua New Guinea, Fiji. Every watching, everywhere, Lord. Bless the givers. Bless England, America, Germany, Switzerland, everywhere. Ghana, Nigeria, South Africa, Kenya, all over the world. Bless. I thank you for blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. I know that God is receiving your tithes. Angels are checking the balances. Angels are checking because the Bible says, there he received them. So angels are checking wealth remittance. So I never knew it was connected to heaven. It's all connected and the angels are checking everything. Men receive it here and there he receives them. So God is receiving your tithe. All right. Now at this time, we are so blessed to have a choir, a mass choir is going to sing for us. And this mass choir is from the United States of America. First Love Church Americano. So that is a blessing. Amen. So we are going to welcome the First Love Church from America. And they are going to sing a song for us. And after they sing for us, we're going to have our short Sunday sermon. And then after that, we will have communion and pray for our blessings that come through the communion. We are going to receive all the wonders of the communion, the wonders of sanctification, the wonders of power, the wonders of strength, the wonders of revelation that come through the Holy Communion. Amen. Are you excited about that? All right. So let us at this time welcome the United States. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the U.S. Hey. So, ladies and gentlemen, God's love is really big. God was trying to find somebody whose love matched his love. And here we are with God still trying to reach to us with love. So God doesn't have time to find people who like him, who love him the way he loved them.
By the feelings of your infirmities,
Jesus loves you, oh yeah. No matter what,
no matter what,
you have done wrong,
you have done wrong.
Jesus loves
you, oh yeah.
That's the reason,
you love me too.
Oh.
Jesus loves.
Are you blessed? Are you blessed by the song? Jesus loves you, and that's why we love him back. And it's powerful because that's what the Lord is speaking to us about in this time, about loving him. And if you love the Lord, it's one of the most powerful sermons we will ever receive as a church. And I believe God is changing our hearts by his power and by his spirit. Amen. How many of you have been blessed so far by the series? Those of you on Zoom, can you raise your hands to show that you are also blessed? Switzerland, you are not blessed? Ah, okay, okay, you're blessed. Wonderful. And it's a blessing. And today the Lord has another word for us. God has another message for us. And your life will never be the same. By the time the pandemic lifts, many evil things of your life will also lift. Because you spend time with God and because the word of God transforms and changes. Amen. So I hope your Bibles and your notebooks are ready. I hope your hearts are open. And I hope you are ready to receive from God. Because we are about to hear and receive the impossible. God is about to move in our lives. So let's sing it once again. Nothing is impossible. All things are possible to those who believe. Lift your hands, lift your voices. Let's declare, nothing is impossible. It's impossible when you put your trust. Those of you joining us on Zoom, sing, nothing is impossible. When you're trusting in his, I want to see you sing it. Say, hearken to the voice
of God to me. Is there anything too hard for me? And put your trust in God alone and rest upon his word. For everything, oh, everything, yes, everything is possible with.
Come on, church, lift your voices. Let's declare it one more time.
Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God.
Nothing is impossible.
Nothing is impossible when you're trusting in God.
Now say, hearken to the voice.
Voice of God.
Lift your right hand. Say, is there anything too hard?
Too hard for me. Then put your trust in God alone and rest upon his word. For everything, oh everything, yes, everything is possible with God.
Come on, put your hands together as we welcome Bishop Dag Heward Mills. Come on.
Heavenly Father, thanks for your great blessing today. We are so excited. Thank you for all your goodness in our lives. Bless us mightily. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, before we sit down, today is Reverend Eastwood Annabas' birthday. Wow. Yeah, I think he's 60 years old today. So why don't we all lift our hand and pray for him? He's a blessing. He's been a blessing to us. Father, we thank you for a great servant you have raised up since he was in university and secondary school. Thank you for his life. We pray for him. Bless him. Bless his family. Heal his heart of every pain and anoint him for greater works. And thank you for his life and the blessing he has been to so many all around the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, what a blessing. You may be seated. Is that not a blessing? Now, today we are, I can see so many of you watching with on Zoom and Facebook Live or everywhere. Television, we are on multi-TV. We are on TV, please. You can check your television. You can get us on Roku. I think there's something called Roku. You can connect any channel in the world. And you can just get it onto your TV. Apple TV, every day. So many ways. Don't say you don't know how to do it, okay? And we'll soon be on some other channels. Canal, SES, different. Are we on? Or we will be. We will be. Yeah, we're going to be on very soon. Sorting out many things. Amen. Very complicated, but possible. Amen. Now, today, I want to just share with you on this message, if you love the Lord. All right? Part two. Okay? Now, last week, I was sharing with you about loving the Lord. You'll be ready for judgment, isn't it? If you love the Lord, you dwell in his presence. The anointing is on you. Amen. And if you love the Lord, it's because he loved you first, isn't it? Now, today, if you love the Lord, I want to say, because love is a little complicated and it is not so easy sometimes to know whether somebody loves you, all right? Because of what we define love to be. If you've asked different people, do you love this person or do you love him? Or some people who are very analytical will ask, what exactly do you mean? Do you love? So do you think about the person? So I think about the person. Do you remember the person? So I remember the person. Do you talk to the person? I mean, like, they will have different things, and even that, still, they are not so sure whether they love the person. So, depending on how complicated the person you get involved with is, the person will not be able to define his or her love for a long time to come. All right? But if you do love the Lord, I'm going to show you a few things. Amen. Let's go to the commonest one in John 14, 21. If you love the Lord, you keep his commandments. That's the first point. If you love the Lord, you keep his commandments. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Amen. So this scripture tells us that loving God has all to do with his commandments. And in many, many relationships, you find out that loving is very connected to obeying and keeping the commandments that are given to you, instructions, commandments, directives. It's a revelation of love. And that is why when Jesus rose from the dead, he was asking Peter, do you love me? If you love me, do this. Keep my commandments. Amen. So loving God is very connected to keeping his commandments and obeying him. How many want to love the Lord? Wave at me. How many I can see you on the Zoom and everywhere, those few people here. If we love the Lord, you want to love the Lord, then you must decide that I'm going to be obedient to him. All right? And that's why God's heart was broken when Adam and Eve obeyed the devil, because it was showing they liked him more. And God was a bit surprised, because he was surprised that, where do you know him from? You get what I'm saying? What is he to you? How could you just do what he says? Do you understand? What has he done for you? What has he provided anything for you? Does he come and talk with you every day? I come and talk with you every day. You know, then how come this guy just comes along and you just obey what he says? It's a sign of your love and trust in the person. Do you see? So that is something that we must remember. You know, don't say you love somebody if you don't obey. And you find out that in marriage, initially with our modern marriages, we start with a feeling. Like, I really feel something. Like, I really feel love, butterflies. I can't even breathe. I don't know whether I have corona or love. Is it corona or is it love? I'm having corona love. I can't breathe when I see you. Wow. But after some time, you find out that love becomes, you find out your breathing is normal. You find out that your breathing is normal. And you find out that your love for the person is directly proportional to the things you obey that the person desires, likes, wants, and wants to experience. Yes. You find out that it goes from that feeling to becoming more of, if you do this, I like it. Like if the person says, I like pepper in my food, and you are making him, and you are saying that, no, pepper is not good. And so the whole family will eat without pepper. You get what I'm saying? And he's saying that, I want pepper in my food. And he said, it's not good for the children. So because of that, we can't cook two foods, one for the children and one for you. You get it? So then the love is changing from the feeling to an action that is not done or is done. Do you understand? And in every department, you may say, turn off the lights. I want the light to be turned off. Because in every house, there are those who leave the lights on and those who turn them off. Yes. There are people that leave everything on. They leave things on. Lights, iron, air conditioner, doors, everything. Yes. In every house. And then there are those who are always going around to turn off everything and lock everything. Those who don't flush the toilet. Now, those of you watching in the house, are you sitting behind tables or what? You look like officers in an office. You must feel free that you are in church, all right? We want to have a church feeling. All right? Amen. Shout hallelujah. Amen. Okay. Every feeling free, please. Amen. So, you're going to find out that love is going to become doing things. And that is going to be your way of showing love. All right? All right. So, keeping of commandments is very key to loving God. Number two, if you love the Lord, it is because you have learned to love him. You have learned how to love him. If you love the Lord, you've learned how to love him. All right? Now, many things you're going to find out that you actually don't know how to do them. All right? And so you're going to need to learn how to love. Now, in love, when it comes to love, God loves us so much that he sees us as his bride. Wow. Do you see? He sees us as his bride. It's like he's the bridegroom. We are the bride of Christ. All right? So, we're becoming his wives. Or his wife. All of us together make up his wife. All right? We've been invited to the great wedding feast. Remember, the wedding of the Lamb. We're going to marry the Lamb. Okay? So marriage, in as much as we can say about it, something little, is also a good reflection of our loving the Lord. Now, in Titus chapter 2, verse 3, because I have so many points, I'm not going to take a long time on each one. But in Titus chapter 2 and verse 3, the Bible says, the aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers. And not given to much wine. Okay, teachers of good things. So, older women. Now, there's a difference between an older woman. Even 10 years. 10 years changes a woman drastically. 10 years changes a woman drastically. Yes. Because at the age of 40, you may be able to give birth. But at the age of 50, you may be unable to give birth again. And a great change takes place. And there's a great difference between a 20-year-old and a 30-year-old girl. There's a great change. Great difference. All right. So, and the change is not just in the physical body, but it's in the mind. The minds develop. Your mind changes as you grow. All right? So the Bible says the aged woman. Don't think of an 80-year-old. When you are 30, you are aged compared to a 16. You're an aged woman. Yes, they call you mommy and auntie. That's the reality. You're an aged woman. All right? Now, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Holiness speaks of being special to God. I always want you to think of holiness in relation to being special to God. Special, every area of your life becomes special to God, including your sexuality. All right? But it's not only that, because the tabernacle is holy, the table is holy, the cloth is holy, the garments are holy, the oil is holy. They are special. That's why we call it holy. And God wants us to be so special to him, unique. When you don't obey anybody, but you only obey God, you are holy. You are special to God. It's like, God has some, this one will obey only me. And I don't listen to anybody. He doesn't listen to anybody. He's not anybody's friend. Yeah, well, what I say is what he will do. He will say it. He will not diminish the words. So, not false accusers, older ladies, accusations, no. You will learn from experience. If your accusation destroys relationships, sometimes permanently damages them. As soon as you start, that's the end. You can't easily become close to somebody you accuse. You drive away the person. Once you start that along the line, you've drawn a red line. Goodbye. Not given to much wine. You know, you can drink wine, but not too much. Okay? And then, teachers of good things. I'm talking about if you love the Lord. But the verse I'm reading is the verse. Now, it says, verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober. Okay. All right? In other words, the young women should be cool. He's trying to teach them how to be sober and not to be influenced by external forces. You see, when you are not sober, like under the influence of alcohol, it's like something else is influencing you. So the influences in your life, God is trying to reduce them. You can't watch films and be educating yourself on how life is by watching Oprah Winfrey, watching soap operas, and then what is the name? It's Nigerian movies. You know, some people travel with their Nigerian movies. Like everywhere they go the pack. Yes. Yes. I mean, well, Nigerian movies are nice. They are interesting. I don't know if you've not watched one before. Maybe you should try. It's amazing. They have very good actors. Very real actors. Yeah. So you cannot get your education from these movies. Do you see? All right. And your influences. When you realize you are acting, you feel you've remembered somebody in the film, and then you are doing something to counter, but it's not the person in the film, it's just your husband or whatever. So the Bible is saying that the older women should teach the younger women to be sober and to do something amazing, which you thought would have been natural, which is to love their husbands. It's a teaching. To love their husbands and to love their children is a teaching. That has to be taught. You see, so many things are not as natural as you may think they would be. And there are people who are completely loveless, but they really want to marry. And they have no idea how to love a husband, but they really want to marry. Yes. And they would marry, and when they marry, they have nothing to love. They exist. I want a dress. Buying a dress, buying things for your face, your hair, is not the same as loving your husband. It's loving yourself. Yes, all that is about yourself. Yes, and you see, some time ago, I used to think that like the ladies are dressing up to maybe impress the world. But I found out that most of them are trying to make themselves happy. They dress for themselves. They are happy when they dress. And they meet other girls who tell them they are looking nice. They are happy to dress. They are really just making themselves happy. They like it. And why not? They should do it. They should feel free. We are not against it. But that's a different from loving your husband. It's a completely different act. Yes. It's actually something that you need to learn. I mean, or something that you can be taught. Yes, you can be taught to love. And that if you actually don't get lessons on how to love, you'll be a bad experience. Yes. That is why perhaps sometimes older men who become widowers, when they have a chance to choose a second person, don't go for the sweet 16s. Because it may be sweet 16, but you have no love to give for the, yes, they will just become something to look after. It's called responsibility contractor. You become a responsibility contractor, RC, or ROL, receiver of little. Yes, receiver of little. If you marry this one, you'll be a receiver of little. Or you'll be a responsibility contractor. Yes. Or you'll be a grudging average performances. It's like the person who grudgingly perform averagely.
Take it like that.
Yes. It's called GAPS. FME is what? FME, familiarity minus excitement. Yes. Yes. Familiarity minus excitement. Yes. These are the things that you get from somebody who has not been taught how to love. Yes. So you can be a very, very unfortunate experience for somebody. And so the Bible actually says to the women, that teach them to love their husbands. And that there is something that you learn. It's something that you actually learn. Yes. It's something to actually learn. So you learn from this, that as we are also the bride of Christ, that loving God is not automatic. It's also something maybe that we have to learn. Do you see? How to love God. Do you see? And with time and with the teaching on it, we will actually learn how to love God. You know? Yes. And that you may be a Christian, but you've not learned how to love God. Do you see? So that's why I'm saying that if you love the Lord, you have probably learned how to love Him. Do you see? Maybe from somebody who loved God. As if you were close to somebody who loved God, or you had a chance to be near or to see somebody who loves God, you may learn from the person some things about how to love God. Yes. That's if you ever have a chance of, interacting with somebody who loves God. So loving God is not as automatic. Depending on how you were brought up, you know, you do different things. All right? And so, even if loving God is obeying God, then loving God, if it can be taught, then it means obeying God can be taught. Okay. Like you can actually learn to flow, learn to obey, which is learning to flow. Now, if you are somebody who gives instructions, you'll find different types of people that you talk to. And some are more flowing. Like they have learned to obey. They've learned that obedience is better. And the obedience gets us further than bringing your own ideas, especially if it's an instruction. So it's something you sort of learn. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7, the Bible says, Jesus Christ in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears, unto him that was able to save him from death, was heard in that he feared. Verse 8. Though he was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. So he learned to obey God by the things that he went through, that he has suffered. And from the things that he suffered, it was a deep education for him. Everything you suffer is an educational experience for you. It educates you. And one of the things you get educated on from suffering is obedience to God, not to any human being. So suffering has that feature in it. When you go through bad experiences, you learn from it something about obeying God. Yesterday, I got a text from somebody. A person said, a person got married just before the pandemic, and was saying that, thank you for helping us to get married, Yeah, we just got married. And then the pandemic, we weren't even going to get married. We're going to marry later. And it was, we can marry now. Let's marry now. And then they married. And then here we are, pandemic. And nobody knows when they are going to say, churches, weddings, funerals, and all these things can come on normally. Maybe today they'll say it. You never know. All right? Yes. So, though he was a son, he learned. So, learning obedience is like learning to flow. And that's how marriage is. Learning to love your husband is learning to flow. Because you've never been with a man. You get what I'm saying? You never live with a man and have to be subject and secondary to somebody. So it's also something you learn. Some people's nature, you get it, is that way already. They are easy flowing. So such easy flowing people look as though they are good wives or there's a certain flow. But then you come to the area where it's like, do this or do that or rise up and do this. So they flow easily, but will not rise up to do certain activities or certain instructions and duties. Although they are flowing, it's like we flow. But when we get to do this or do that, it's like I'm flowing in bed. I'm flowing asleep. My flow is sleeping. Yes. Because you can be so lazy that you not like bathing. It's like you really flow, but you don't bath. You see? Huh? Yes. So, you will flow, but then at a point, even though the water is flowing, you are not flowing. All right? So, learning to obey is learning to flow. Learning to obey is learning to flow. And I want you to believe with me today. You know, when you learn to love the Lord, you will learn to love also in marriage, because God has said over and over and over all through the Bible that He is marrying us, plain and simple. Whether you are a man or woman, you are the wife. You are His wife. So we have to learn how to be wives. Yes. As Christians. And it's about flowing. What does He want? Let's flow. Does He want to go here, go here, go there? There's nothing the same. Every day He can come up with some. If you have an exciting husband, he will come up with things all the time. Charlie, let's do this. Let's go here. Let's do this. If you have a boring husband, everything will always be the same. You eat your kegari every day in the same way, facing the same wall, in the same direction, and it's the same food every day, the same bowl, and whatever. Those who don't know your kegari, Google it. You'll find what it is. All right? But if you have an exciting husband, and I think God is a very exciting husband, He has something new all the time. We always want things to be exactly the same. But God doesn't want things to be exactly the same at all. He is moving. He's creating. He's bringing this world to a conclusion. Yes. Whether you like it or not, He's bringing this world to a conclusion. This world as you see today will be not as it is now. It will not be like that. Yeah, it's changing and it's going to be brought to a cataclysmic conclusion. And Jesus will return and become, He will be, He said the kingdoms of this earth will become the kingdoms of our Lord. And those of you who have been faithful will be appointed heads of state in various countries. Kasusha payabalaba. You see, you can't even believe that one day you may be the head of state in Iran or Iraq or these different nations. It will be divided properly. And you see that it will be rulers. Wow. Because you see that the nations of the world have been divided according to the greed and the wickedness of mankind. That's why we have such sharp curves in the map. Yes. If you look at the map of Zambia, you see that where it's up at the north, I mean, clearly all this part was Zambia, but Congo people went in and took out a whole chunk. So the map goes like this, comes this way, comes this way, comes back like that. If you look at the map of Ghana, you see that we were coming straight. Then we just went to the side, curved nicely into Cote d'Ivoire, and then came out. You know, you don't even understand the maps. So many curves and junctions for resources. People are looking for resources, oil and things. But it's going to be demarcated, and the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord. You'll be head of state, prime minister. I mean, that's when the real governments will start, without elections. Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, so loving the Lord is something we need to flow with Him. Any change He's bringing, flow with it. If you are with me, you can't flow with changes, resign now. Resign. Because changes are things, if you like die and rise up in a year's time, when you come, you say the church is different. Yes. If you like, try it. See. Even people who travel, they say, when we travel, we just went, and when we came out, so many things have changed. And that's how it is. This changes all the time. So people who flow with God, Bible says, in Him we move. Okay. must be ready to flow with God. We must be ready to flow with God. Flow with Him. Today you may be in this country. The next day says, hey, I want you to go whatever. There was a time when we had crusades. Bishop Saki was the one doing the evangelist. He was East Gospel Crusade. Then at the point I came, I should do crusade. I said, look, Charlie, we've changed. I've changed my mind. You do the church, I will do the crusade. It's as simple as that. There was a time I never felt interested in all the nations of the world. The nations of the world. But in the last year, then the Holy Spirit started to speak to me about the nations. That's how come now I want to be in every country. At first, I felt just Africa. Maybe Caribbean and, I mean, some other few places and so on. But now I feel more like every nation, we should go to. Why are we, who is going to go to all nations? We should go to all nations. I've not heard anywhere say go to some nations. So I'm just saying that the need to flow with the Holy Spirit is the learning of obedience. And when you marry, you'll see. If you are a girl, you'll see. I mean, if you are married to me, you see that if I come and we are watching television, I take the remote even though you were watching before I came there. And I would change the channel to whatever. And you are supposed to flow with me. Yes, happily. Flow along. And we all watch whatever I'm watching. Is it not? Don't you think it's a good idea? That's how, yeah. Yes, and you stay and watch. Happily. But you see, if such things are not easy for you, you find out that you've not learned to flow. Yes, you've not learned to flow. You get what I'm saying? If I eat pork, you see, and you are married to me, you say you don't eat pork. Then every time I'm eating, it's as if I'm eating poison. Yes. You have to start to eat it. We are all eating. How can it be that I am happy and then you are looking and as if you are interceding for me? Every eating. We should all eat the pork. Yes, you must learn to eat. You can't come and say, oh, your father didn't eat, your mother didn't eat, whatever. Your house, they never ate this and that and that. No. So you learn to flow. All right? So flowing with God is how you love Him. It's like, what does He want us to do? Anything, anywhere. Is there a town? Is there a village? When we go, we will make that town a great place. We'll make that village the nicest place in the world. Yeah. And today in Ghana, I tell you, there are many towns. They are nicer than to be in Accra. In Ghana, yes. We have a better life. I've lived in Suhum before. You have a better life, a higher quality. It's only that we are not ready to flow. As we flow with God, everywhere is nice. Everywhere can be okay. Yeah, everywhere. Now, Ezekiel chapter 19, quickly before we get bogged down in this point. Moreover, take thou up a lamentation for the princes of Israel and say, what is thy mother? A lioness. She laid down among the lions. So again, like a wife. All right? She nourished her whelps among young lions. Verse 3. I want you to notice something right there. And she brought up one of her whelps or one of her cubs. And it became a young lion. And it learned to catch the prey. It devoured men. It learned to catch the prey. So again, like love, something that is like this is what you love. You like this food, your food. But you learn how to lay hold on it and how to get it. And you would think that a lion will naturally know how to catch the prey. But if you ever watch wildlife, you will see some of the films show the mothers teaching the young ones how to catch the prey. Lions actually get fewer. Their population is reducing, whilst the buffaloes and the antelopes are becoming plenty. And lions are really suffering. They are going down, 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 down. Because it's not easy to catch food. It's not as simple as it looks. You may be the strongest, but you are not everywhere and you are not so fast. And they get tired. You know, lions love to sleep. They are so tired all the time. They can only run for a short distance and then they just get tired. If they could run further, they would catch a lot more. But they get so tired, their heart gets start to beat and then they just stop. So it's something they have to learn with strategy. Sometimes the lions will stand at different places. And one will come and it runs. Then when it runs, it goes to meet the other one. It's like a teamwork, as if they have discussed it. You know? So I'm trying to show you that the most natural looking things have to be learned. Yes. And you'll find out that many things that are love have to be learned. And if you don't take your time to learn, you say, oh, well, what is this? This one is natural. This one, we do it. It's not true. It's not true. I have found that as long as you don't learn, you are a beast. Yes, you are a beast. And you are not a nice experience. Yes. And you are not a nice experience for God unless you learn it. So if you love the Lord, it's likely that you have learned to love Him. Yes. Many years ago, I don't know who taught me, but I remember reading whatever, and in this thing, they gave a secret about something to do if you love the Lord. I'm not going to say it, but it's like, it's something that has been with me. Do this, do this, do this, do this. It is your way to love the Lord. It's your way to love the Lord. And it has stayed with me since I was in secondary school. That if you love the Lord, you do this. Always. And it has stayed with me. No matter what, I've kept that. No matter the levels that I've gone in the ministry. So if you love the Lord, it's likely that you've learned to love Him. If you are a good marriage, you've learned the marriage. You've learned to love. If you have a good relationship, it's something you have learned how to do. So may you be a learner of love. Don't think that, oh, it's natural. We just lift our hand and worship. No. Some worshippers don't love God at all. Some worshippers don't love God at all. I used to be jealous of all the worship leaders. I've always wanted to be a worship leader. You know, I've always been jealous of worship leaders. Because I really want to. I wish I could sing all the songs. I would just take over. I wouldn't let anybody sing. I would sing for myself. I'm so jealous of preachers who sing and then they preach. That I want to do that myself. But I don't have the time to learn the songs. You know, but if I could, I would worship. But after some time, I realized that a lot of worshippers don't love God. Yes, a lot of worshippers. So I've stopped being so jealous of them. Because I felt that God really likes them, the way they worship Him. And I'm not able to worship Him. Like, my worship is more, just talking. Because I don't sing. When I'm in my room, I don't sing. It's my wife who sings, but I don't sing. Are you listening to me? Yes. So love the Lord. Learn to flow and love the Lord. Don't be jealous of these worship leaders. No. God has shown us what is love. Learn how to love Him. Yes, just as the lion, you think it's natural to catch it. No, no, it's something they learn also. You learn everything in marriage. All the different aspects. I don't need to mention them. Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 4, 8. All the chapters. Learn it. It's something that is learned. So tell somebody sitting next to you or anywhere that if you love the Lord, it's likely you learn how to love Him. You can learn how to love. Love can be taught. Amen. And that's why the older women are to teach the young, because they've been married before. Or they've had a man before. A woman at a certain age, you have had a man. And you say, this man is different from a woman. Is it true or is it not true? Number 3, and we shall be ending soon. If you love the Lord, you will love the brethren. Amen. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Amen. So, when you love the Lord, all right, you tend to start loving the church and the brethren in the church. It's an expression of your love for the Lord. Yeah. So those of you who don't have friends in the church, and you don't love the brethren, it's likely that you don't love the Lord. Okay. Let's read the verse again. Okay. Hereby perceive we the love of God. This is how we perceive or sense or detect the love of God. Okay? Because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's how we detect love, God's love. So when you meet someone who loves God, who has the love of God, the love of God, God's love, he loves the brethren. And this is how we see it. Because Jesus laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So you and your family, you see, I want to say something. The teaching about family consciousness, me, my wife, my children, and our family has actually taken away from the love of God. It's true. That's why you find out all the large church world, the church world, has emphasized so much on family. It has dried out the love of God. Yes, family. And they have more divorce than anybody else. So, loving God, you'll find out that the brethren are becoming as important to you. Are you getting what I'm saying? As your so-called biological family. And you find out that the brethren become very important to you. Yes. If you love the Lord. He says, hereby, this is how we are able to detect that this person has the love of God. Hereby perceive we the love of God. That he laid down his life, because he laid down his life, we ought to lay down our lives for brethren. Yes. So, you know, your love for the brethren, your love for the church, it really reveals the love you have for God. Yes. Yeah. Your care for the brethren, your interest in the church, your interest in God's people. Now, I want to ask you, what do you do for anybody apart from your little family? I, myself, and me. Three of you. You're looking after three people. I, myself, and me. The selfish trinity. Which brethren are you adding to your love field? Which brethren do you take care of? Who else have you added to your house? Who have you added to your life? As you are so family conscious, open up your heart. There are people that may not be your biological family. There will be more of your brothers and your sisters to you than your biological family. You'll find out with time. You'll find out with time. So when you have God's love in you, you find out that all brethren are brethren. Honestly, I want to tell you something. You know, let me tell you. Over the years, as our church has become more and more international, you know, when I see people from different countries, you know, I feel as though I'm related to them. Yeah. It's like I know them. We are relatives. I don't know how to explain it. It is 100%. You can be from Tanzania, Rwanda, Burundi, Thailand, India. It's like once you are brethren, they become like, I don't know how to explain it. Yes. And you find out more and more as you love God, people become just brethren. And they become your family. It's true. But the less of the love of God you have, you are more detached from these people, caring less. In fact, you will always be saying, watch out for this guy. Dangerous. This one, hey, be careful. This country, no. Yes, watch out. That's how you'll be all the time. And you get scared of people. But it's not because they are wicked people. But all human beings have the serpent seed. So all human beings We all have, there's murders in every country. There's thieves in every country. Every country has prisons. Every town we go, when I preach, I say, do you have a prison here? They say, yeah, we have a prison here. They say, oh, it's right behind the field. There's a prison. All right? So I want to bump up your love for the brethren. Yes. You know, and some of you start loving the brethren only when you are looking for a beloved. It's like you start being nice and smiling and coming around and flowing around. It's like, so that I'll be noticed. That is not the love of God. It's your selfishness that is manifesting. Yes. If you are a brother, all right, who loves God, the sisters that will be wanting to marry, more than 25 to 50 sisters will be ready to say yes. You just have to even text a text without even saying, what is it? Is it yes or no? They'll say it's yes. They will perceive it. Yes. Is it yes or no? I say it is yes. 25 to 50. Amen. When you love the Lord, you love the brethren, you love the sisters, you love, and not lust after them. I'm not talking about desiring them to destroy them or to sexually abuse them. It will be to love them, wanting them to serve the Lord, wanting them to. When I first became a Christian and I met Betty and these other brethren, I saw a new family. I'd never experienced that before. Christianity. And they took me to church to find a Bible, to fellowship, meetings. It was a new world. I'd never encountered born-again Christians before. I remember it is as if I entered into a lake, a family. It was something wonderful to me. I didn't know what was happening then, but now I look back, I realize that. I only knew my nuclear family. The people that my mother took me to and my father. My father's relatives, my mother's friends and their families. Those were the only people I knew. All my friends were either white people or half caste. I didn't know anybody. But so the church became the new family that I never knew before. And the more love of God you have, the more of such people become your family. Yes. And as we become more global and international, all these barriers in your head must drop. Yes. We must have successful international marriages. Yes. Because everybody is the same. The pandemic has affected all of us. I hear it's even in the White House now. Have you heard that it's entered the White House? Yeah. The virus said, you can't keep me up with your guns. I'm coming there. It has entered the White House. Yeah. This is not respecting no NATO. So open your heart and love. So as I'm here, I'm preaching, I can feel. All of you there, can you wave to me? Can you wave to me? Wave to me. I want to see that you are still around. Oh, beautiful. Yes, yes. Keep waving, 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 waving. Wow. Fantastic. If you love the Lord, you see that we are one family. Yes. And we are believing God. And this family is extending to 190 countries. Yes. Are you ready for your Moroccan pastor? Your Egyptian shepherds? Wow. Japanese Wasenta leader? Huh? Hungarian Guasenta leader. Every nation. We are going to all nations. We have people that will speak. And then we say, amen. Amen. When he speaks, then we interpret. Beautiful. Don't you want to hug your Saudi Arabian brother? Huh? Yes. I feel a great love for all these people and all these nations. And that love is the love of God. Yes. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Amen. So that is point number 3. And point number 4, to end today's amazing sermon, is if you love the Lord, you will be filled with compassion for the needs in this world, compassion. And 1 John 3, verse 17, it says, whoso has this world's good, amen, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him. How can you say that the love of God or God's love is in him? Or how can you say that he loves the Lord? You see, the love of God is to say loving God. The love of God. Where you see the love of God is like saying, I love the Lord. I have the love of God or God's love or I love the Lord. They are all the same. Yes. So if you love the Lord, how can you see this world's good and see your brother having need and shut up your feelings of compassion from him? How can you say the love of God? How can you say you love God? You can't say you love God. If you love the Lord, you feel. You start feeling. Now, I want you to become feeling people. Feel what people feel. You know, don't have to experience everything. Do you want to experience everything? Hey! Do you want to be blind before you feel what a blind person is feeling? Do you want to have no smell before you can know what it's like not to smell fried fish? Do you want to be deaf to know what it's like to be moving around? Everything is silent. Like that. There's no noise at all. When we talk of compassion, it is to imagine what somebody is going through. Yes. So a person who cannot imagine what somebody is going through, that moves the person, doesn't have the God's love in him. You have to think of what is it that you may be experiencing. And many times, God allows us to experience things to give us a feeling of what that thing is like so that we will have a feeling in us. That feeling will guide us in what we must do or what we must not do.
Yes.
But amazingly, people who have painful experiences, they don't even care about anybody going through the same. They say, ah, we all went through that, so Charlie, you too. Yes. That's why I've been shocked at sometimes lecturers who have been as wicked to people when they were students, they suffered. When they became lecturers, they forgot all about it, what they went through. The wickedness becomes more. When I see couples getting married, you know, all my marriage counseling and the model marriage and all the things, they are born out of feeling. Wow. Yes, feeling. What is this person going through? What are they going through? When you see people, what are they feeling? Yes. What are people experiencing? What are they suffering? But as you go around without thinking about anybody except yourself and what you are experiencing in your life, you get it? Yes. You don't love God. You don't have the love of God in you. You can sit in your castle. Everything is good for you. But if you love the Lord, you will have a feeling. Sometimes I think, so what are those people who don't know the Lord? What is it like for them? People grow up. All kinds of things are happening to people, though. Hey! It's very wild. One time I was in a certain town whose name starts with a T in Ghana. And it was an evening service. And these people were giving testimonies. I don't know, testimony for what. And one of them came up. Their uncle, the father traveled, so they have to go, two of them actually, they have to go to work, to have sex. It's one CD. They get one CD each. So they go and they get a one CD and come, go and get a one CD and they come. I mean, it's like normal. It wasn't something they were feeling shy about. Two little girls. It's like, that's the life. I mean, there's nothing else to do than to go for one CD, two CDs, one CD, two CDs, like that. And they were just standing in church testifying that they went, and one CD is how much? 20 cents, US, 20 cents. Pounds, 10p. Yes. And they were sharing it in church, and how I think the uncle had come back or the father had come back or whatever, so they were now back in the house. I mean, they go and they come. People's lives are complete. You can't even imagine people's lives everywhere in the world. One day I was in a city called Cochabamba. And when we got to the traffic light in the night, around midnight, we were going home. You know, there were these little children. This was the height. Like this. They were at the traffic light. There was no car. Everybody had gone to bed. There was no car. But these children, they're like dogs. That's where they ran. They ran across the street. They ran there. Ran the street children. People have been brought into this world. They just are like wild animals. I just look at them. I said, and there was this little boy, and he's just looking at us. I said, how do these children grow up? You know, and so the bowels of compassion must be moved. If you love God and God's love is in you, you start to think of all these things and not just be okay where you are. I was staying in a hotel, But how is it like for these people? How is it like for everybody? All the films we watch, films like Taken, people's daughters are abducted. They are all real things. So every film is like news being put in the form of entertainment. Every film is like news in the form of entertainment. The nightclubs you see, the places that you see, the killings, they are real things that happen. Yes. How do you feel? How do we feel? What is it like for somebody to grow up without knowing Jesus? If you love God, you feel, you have a feeling for all these people, all these nations, and you want to do something to reach somebody because God's love is in you and you love God and God's love is in you. Whoso has this world's good? What is good in this world apart from Jesus? And seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion. That is, he closes off feelings. No feelings. You know, sometimes when you are a doctor, you have to remove your feelings. When you are giving an injection, a person screams, say, I'll still give you an injection. When they are amputating a leg, they saw with the saw. It's like you have to take off your feelings. And they do wild things. Yeah. There are wild, wild things that people do. It's like you have to shut down feelings. Otherwise, you can't even work. And what happens is that people have shut down their feelings when it comes to the needs of humanity and the needs of people. The needs of the blind, the needs of the deaf, the needs of the poor, the needs of those who are struggling out there. People are shut. So close your feelings like a doctor. Close your feelings, otherwise you can't function. How do you think people feel who work in the mortuary every day? They see people coming to lie there, person after person after person after person. How do you think they feel? They have to shut down their feelings. And that's how some of us have become. We've shut down feelings when it comes to certain things. And that's why God has touched my heart to do all these things. Some of the things we are doing. Hospital for blind only. Hospital for deaf and dumb only. Hospital work for prisoners only. Beggars only. Is the feeling that comes from God. Because we see this person say that, how do you even pay for something when you are blind? How do you know how much you have? When they put the money on, how when you count it, when they tell you it's 200, how do you know that it's 200? And somebody has to tell you that it's 200. And when you are paying, how do you know you've given 20 CDs? It's wild, though. It's very wild. One day I was in a hotel in America, and I was going to the lift, and I think I was with Bishop Joel. And suddenly, two blind girls came down the corridor. They were just holding, they were just walking and feeling like that. They were feeling. We were standing there watching them. And they came to the lift, feel the lift. We were just watching them. Yeah, they took the lift and they went down. I entered the lift with them. And when we got down, there were more blind people there. We were coming for a conference. Yes. I said, wow. What is this? Satan is wicked, though. And the reason why he attacks human beings is because we are made in the image of God and we remind him of God whom he hates so much. When you see people manifesting hatred for somebody, it is the devil. Because the devil has so much hatred. That's why he wants to make people blind, deaf, dumb, and handicapped and crooked. And God puts his love in us to reverse those things and to bring comforts to those that we cannot even reverse. That's the love of God. Yes. And the greatest love we can do for somebody is to give the person the gospel. And other loves we can do is to help all these problems in the world and the poor. May God give us that love. If we love the Lord, we will do all these things and we will walk in this way that I'm describing. Love is not something that is automatic. Even the lion has to learn how to catch the prey. Even it's like how to love what he's supposed to naturally love. What he naturally eats, he knows how to get it. Yes. It's natural, but there's some learning in it, involved in it. So God is going to bless us as we love him. And if we love him, we are fulfilling the greatest commandment. So the greatest thing is to love. You know, one time, Jesus said, if you will be perfect, do this. I believe that perfection, he says, go and sell all your things and give to the poor. The highest form of love is, I believe, starting to minister to all these poor people in difficulty. Because Jesus said, the man said, I said, don't commit adultery, don't do this. I've done all. He said, okay, if you will be perfect. No, he said, if you'll be perfect. Yes. Matthew 19:21. Jesus said unto him, if thou will be perfect, go and sell what you have and give to the poor. In other words, minister to the poor if you want to move into perfection in ministry. So it's something that God has laid on my heart. Do more things for the poor. If I'm able to be alive in the next few whatever, we may almost look like a humanitarian organization because of the type of things, yes, to show compassion. It's the love of God, yes. If thou will be perfect, do things for the poor. Preach the gospel to the poor. Love the poor. Help people who cannot help themselves. Help the helpless. If thou will be perfect. Amen. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for your guidance. If you love the Lord, we love you. And we thank you for the chance to love you and to serve you from the bottom of our hearts. We are grateful in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Touch our lives, bless our lives, and do wonders in our lives. We are grateful, Heavenly Father, for your power that is at work. Everybody, put your hand on your heart. If you love the Lord, God is giving you great love for him. Love of God is filling your heart. If you love the Lord, you are learning it. You are learning to flow. Loving God is flowing with God. Loving God is flowing with God. If you love the Lord, you will learn how to love him. It's not automatic. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We give you thanks. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you. Now, I want to pray with you if you want to give your life to Jesus. Maybe you are watching. You are part of this service. I want to pray with you earnestly. If you want to give your heart to Jesus, just lift your hand and say this prayer in your room, in the Caribbean, in the islands, anywhere, wherever you are. Say, Jesus. Just say with me. Say, Jesus, everyone, please forgive me for my sins. I open my heart and I receive you, Jesus. Come into my life. Change my life. Change everything about me, Lord. Make me a new person. From today, I give my heart to Jesus. I am born again. I will serve Jesus. Thank you for this blessing. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. God bless you. It's time. Hallelujah. How many are blessed with the love of God? Amen. It's time for us to stand to our feet. We are going to receive our Holy Communion. Holy Communion. Now, everyone, everywhere, take your communion, take your bread, and I'm going to pray over the holy bread. Amen.
Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Drink, this is my blood, which was shed for you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. The cup of blessing which we bless, it's the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break,
take out your communion. Hallelujah. Now, in Luke 24, Bible says, as they drew nigh to the village, whither they went, he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him. Abide with us, for it is evening. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, and took bread, he took bread and blessed it and broke and gave it to them. Same thing as a communion. And their eyes were opened and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. The wonder of revelation that comes through the Holy Communion. The wonders of revelation. I believe that as you partake of this Holy Communion, the wonder of God opening your eyes to see what you need to see, to know what you need to know, and to be filled with his wisdom and his insight and his guidance is going to happen practically. Their eyes were opened. Amen. Amen. Father, as we come before you now, we lift up this bread. Thank you that as you blessed it and it was received, eyes were open. Let eyes be open. Let us see the spirit world. Let us see visions and dreams and trances. Let us enter into your goodness. We shall see whatever is hidden from us. And your power makes it a blessing. Thank you. For revelation. Lift your hand and say revelation. 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 Father, thank you for the power of revelation. In Jesus' name. Amen. The body of Jesus Christ. When I see the blood,
I will pass over you.
Now we are going to take the wine. It says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn, both man and beast, against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now listen, God is judging all the gods of Egypt. That's what we are seeing. What are the things we trusted in? British Airways. We trusted in KLM. We trusted in Emirates. We trusted in the banks. We trusted our jobs. Everything. He says, I will smite the gods of Egypt, the things they trust in. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. The plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. As you lift up this blood, wherever you are, as the gods of Egypt are smitten and the land of Egypt is devastated by the plague, whatever angel of death and wickedness is passing through the world, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. You are delivered because of this blood. Father, we present this wine before you, this drink. It is now the blood of Jesus. As we take it, we thank you for divine protection and covering from every plague that is roaming through the land. None shall be afflicted by it. All of those under this commission and mission are declared saved from this evil, from the youngest to the oldest, by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. The blood of Jesus. Lift your hands for your blessing. Whatever threatens you is cursed. Whatever is at your doorstep seeking to enter your house, I rebuke it. In Jesus' name, what access points and entry points are left open in your dwelling place, I seal them now. All perforations are sealed in the name of Jesus. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear the Lord. Let there be angels around your house. Let there be increased angelic activity around you. May the blessing of the Lord keep you from the stroke from the death, from the cough, from the disease of the lungs, from the wicked inventions of human beings, by the blood of the Lamb, by the prayers of the saints, you are declared covered, delivered, protected in the name of Jesus. Your life is sealed in the mighty name of Jesus. 1,000 may fall by your side and 10,000 by your right hand, but it will not happen to you. I pray for everyone from the east to the west, from the north to the south. Let the angel of the Lord keep you from evil. Nakalo Ramashindo Santalama. You are declared an escapee. You have escaped the evil. And you are now declared a fighter for the Lord. A last day warrior of Jesus Christ. May you stand where others failed. May you stand where others died. May you live when others perished. In the name of Jesus. All they that are incensed against you shall be confounded and ashamed. Let them that strive against you perish. And let them be as nothing and become as naught, according to the word of the Lord that is spoken by the prophet. You are declared a blessed survivor, an overcomer, and a victorious child of the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray. Amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every week. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.